Chapter 18, Prophecies Concerning the Church. We have considered the scripture prophecies relating to both Jew and Gentile, and we now wish to trace out a little of the divine verifying of those prophetical scriptures which concern the Church of God. This church will be found to embrace all the election of grace, whether Jews or Gentiles, from the beginning to the end of time. There have been in all ages visible churches on the earth, that is, companies of men and women who have met together for divine worship on stated occasions and have appointed officers among themselves to enable them to exercise all the functions of a church according to what they have regarded to be ordained of God. In Old Testament days, there was the Jewish church, whose officers and worship were according to the divine appointment of those times. Under the New Testament dispensation, there were at first the early apostolic churches, pure in doctrine and practice according to the infallible direction of the Spirit through the apostles. As time advanced, however, this early purity began to be tarnished. Errors in doctrine and divergencies in practice began to creep in, and the churches became corrupted in consequence. Even this, we shall see, was divinely foretold through the apostles themselves. But if we regard the Church of Christ as being that mystical body, of which he is the ever-living head, we shall find that the promises and prophecies concerning it have been wonderfully fulfilled throughout the ages. In the first place, it would seem that there has always been a remnant of the godly existing on the earth, and it is generally recognized that, when the last of the elect has been called out of the world, the end of all things will then be at hand. In the last great tribulation, there will still be the elect of the earth, because for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So in the days of the flood, when the wickedness of man had grown to such lengths that God said he would destroy all flesh, there was one righteous man among them. Noah walked with God, and the Lord forewarned him to make an ark, wherein he and his house were preserved from the overwhelming waters. After that, the nations were scattered over the earth, but God called Abram alone from amongst them, and from his seed raised up his ancient people of Israel, who were typical of the true people of God, the spiritual children of Abraham. But Israel turned aside from the worship which God had ordained by the hand of Moses and went after idols, so that Elijah in his day seemed to think that he alone was left to serve the true God. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So it has been in all ages, that God has had on the earth some members of the mystical body of Christ, which is the church. A remnant was preserved to return from Babylon and restore the true worship in the temple at Jerusalem, according to the prophecy of Isaiah. But yet it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Jeremiah and Ezekiel had also made similar prophecies. At the end of the Old Testament revelation, there came a period of great darkness. For nearly 400 years, there was no further word of God given, but at the appointed period Christ came, according to the word of Malachi. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. John the Baptist had come and directed many to Christ, who also himself called his disciples, who were to lay instrumentally the foundation of the Church of Christ. Hence, the saints at Ephesus were said to be built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So the New Jerusalem, the holy city of God, the church, is described as having 12 gates bearing the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, representing the Jewish church, and also with 12 foundations, in which are the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, representing the New Testament church. Here we have the commencement of a further fulfillment of prophecy concerning the church. David, when foretelling the ascension of Christ into heaven after he had accomplished the work of redemption, says, "Thou hast ascended on high, and thou hast led captivity captive, and thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them." This the Apostle Paul attributes to the giving of the apostles, prophets, and evangelists who founded the early churches, and so also to the appointing of pastors and teachers for the edifying of the body of Christ down to the end of time. If we take the history of the true churches of Christ from that day to this, we shall find that there has been a little remnant maintained here and there, and pastors and teachers raised up for their instruction and edification, so that they have been enabled to walk in church order, although often with much persecution from their enemies, as Christ himself had forewarned them, "If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Herein too has been fulfilled his prophecy to Peter, "Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." They would surely gather together against the church, but should not prevail. Now also many nations are gathered against thee, that say, "Let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion." But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel, for he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion. All this has come to pass, because God is in the midst of his church as her glory, and a wall of fire round about to protect her. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. So Isaiah also had prophesied, "The Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, and upon her assemblies, a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense." And as to visible and particular churches, we have seen abundant evidence of the fulfillment of his gracious promise, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." We have already alluded to the falling away which was foretold by the apostles. To the church at Ephesus, Paul had said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. To the Thessalonians also, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Evidences of these declensions are given in the messages sent by the Lord Jesus to the seven churches in Asia. The Ephesian church had left her first love and thereby fallen from their original purity. The church at Pergamos had some who held the doctrine of Balaam and of the Nicolaitans, which Christ hated. At Thyatira, there were those who suffered that woman Jezebel to teach and seduce. Sardis had so departed that though she had a name to live, she was dead, and Laodicea had become lukewarm and thought she was rich and had need of nothing. Then there came the great falling away of the Roman church, the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, the mystical Babylon the Great, who has become drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. The history of the Church of Rome bears a terrible testimony to the truth of these prophecies and continues to the present day as a great Antichrist opposing itself to the cause of Christ. Yet, in the midst of all these oppositions, there has been maintained a godly remnant, and here and there visible churches of Christ have been kept in existence. The Paulicians in Asia Minor in the 9th century, the Waldenses in Europe in the 13th century, Wycliffe and the Lollards in England in the 14th century, and the followers of John Huss in Bohemia in the 15th century may be mentioned as the more well-known of these little remnants during the times of the great darkness of popery preceding the Great Reformation. Then were given the reformers, Luther, Zwingli, Melanchthon, Calvin, and others on the continent, and Cranmer, Ridley, Hooper, Latimer, and others in our own country to re-establish the truths of the gospel. These were succeeded here by the Puritans and many godly nonconformists, and in this way our greatly favored land has been blessed with the gospel and with a godly remnant who have professed the truths of it and walked in the ordinances of it in church fellowship according to the light afforded them. With regard to the enemies of the true church of Christ, it is remarkable how the prophecies have been fulfilled, and the care of the great head of the church has been manifest in overthrowing their evil works. So in the 4th century, when Arius arose and attacked the eternity of the Son of God, Athanasius was raised up to defend this great truth and overthrow these adversaries. Similarly, in the following century, Augustine was made the instrument in the hands of the Lord to defend the truth as to man's fallen condition against the errors of Pelagius. Then, as we have already mentioned, the blasphemies of popery, which were allowed to prevail for so long a period, were overturned at the Great Reformation, although, alas, there has been a turning again to this great abomination. In all these respects, we may see how God has fulfilled his purposes and promises in maintaining a godly seed in the earth, members of the mystical body of Christ, and also in raising up godly men as instruments to form and maintain visible churches of Christ in the world, down through the ages to our present times. And therein, we have another phase of the fulfillment of divine prophecies as evidencing the truth of the Scriptures.